Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from EEJournal.com. And this week, Fish Fry is coming to you from beautiful Austin, Texas, where we've got all the nerdy goodness you could ever want. A little digital signal processing, a little check-in with CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and a little bit about a fork that tells you when you've had too much to eat. Oh yeah, and I have a special surprise, but you'll need to stick around till the end of the broadcast to find out what it is. Let's get into some serious DSP, folks. What's hotter than an egg in the Texas sun? Digital signal processing, of course. Wait, maybe that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Sure was funny when I wrote it, though. Anyway, my first guest is Pierrick Voulier, CTO and founder of 4DSP, right here in Austin, Texas. Pierrick and I are going to chat about IP, FPGAs, FMCs, DSP, and a whole lot more. Check it out. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Glad to be here.
So tell us more about 4DSP for my audience who doesn't know what you guys do.
Well, we do quite a few things at 4DSP, but the core of our technology is FPGA-based products and ADC and DAC cards as well.
Okay. So tell me more about those cards in particular.
The product that we just released this week is a Virtex 7 3U VPX card.
Okay.
So it's using the latest technology from Xilinx. This product has got quite a few features. It has an FMC site. That means that you can use an FPGA mezzanine card either from 4DSP or from any third-party vendor. It also has plenty of memory and quite a few serial lanes that are connected to the backplane. So it's a very flexible platform for high-end and ruggedized embedded systems.
Very cool. Okay, so I understand you guys are involved in a cool application of your technology called fiber optic sensing. Tell me more about that.
Right. Fiber optic sensing is a technology that allows you sensing strain and temperature using a fiber optic.
Okay.
This means that along your fiber optic, you can have multiple locations where you can know real time your strain or your temperature.
So what kind of applications would you see this fiber optic sensing involved in?
Fiber optic sensing has been around for quite a while. It's actually being used on bridges and buildings all over the US and in many places around the world. But the difference with this new fiber optic sensing interrogator that we offer is that it has a very fine resolution and a high refresh rate.
Okay.
So it's a technology that can be used to sense strain in a very dynamic environment. For example, like you would have on the wing of an airplane.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you fly your plane, the conditions are changing very quickly.
Sure.
And you want to be aware of how your wing is holding up at any given time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
In the long run, this technology could be used aboard aircrafts to adjust the position of the wing relative to the fuselage.
Oh.
So this could essentially reduce your fuel consumption.
And this seems like it could probably improve safety as well. Is that true?
Absolutely. You know, nowadays planes have to undergo some routine maintenance.
Sure, yeah.
And this technology could ensure that you can detect defects. And that means that you don't need to have as many maintenance cycles as you used to.
Okay, so this is all possible because of the high performance you're able to get with your digital signal processing, right?
That's correct. This is really a great example of how FPGA technology can be applied and offer tremendous power savings over conventional processors while offering real-time results.
Fantastic. All right, how about a little bit of an off-the-cuff question for you, Pierrick? You guys moved your home base from Reno, Nevada to Austin, Texas a couple years ago. Tell me about Austin. How are you liking the transition to the Lone Star State?
Austin is a great place. You know, it's the live music capital of the world.
I heard.
So, you know, our engineers enjoy living here.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a great university, a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. So overall, the move has been very positive.
Very good. Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Good talking to you too.
Next up, the Megatron of high-tech conferences, the Grand Poobah of CE, the greatest show on Earth, the Consumer Electronics Show. Sadly, I could not attend this year. I know, I promise I'll make it next year. But I managed to drag my colleague, Brian Moyer, away from the hustle and bustle of the show for just a couple minutes.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day, Brian, to speak with me. How are things at CES?
Well, they're okay. It's kind of busy. I'm camped out here. I actually put up a tent in the taxi line. I realized I was going to need a taxi in a couple of days, and when I saw how long the line was, I figured I'd better sort of get my place now. And so I got a shade structure up so that I could do my briefings and such. It's my first CES, so you kind of, take it easy the first time and see how things are done. It's kind of like going to Burning Man the first year. You go easy and then you do it right the next time. So I think, for like next year at CES, I'll do an art car so I can get around a little more easily.
Good idea. So, Brian, can you filter things down to any kind of trends at this year's show?
Looking around, there were kind of three main categories of stuff that I could kind of put most of the major announcements into, or the major things I saw. Automotive, entertainment, and actually, automotive, there's two pieces to it. There's the entertainment piece as well for automotive. There's lots of that. But also, engine and safety control and stuff. I actually spent some time with a guy from Ford who talked through some things, so I'll have some interesting stuff to write up from that. So automotive, entertainment, and then health and fitness as well. Lots of stuff, a whole section of one of the halls dedicated to health and fitness.
Very cool. So I'm assuming that there are a lot of sensors involved in these three areas. Did you see a lot of sensors?
It's funny because I actually came here with the agenda of kind of looking for sensors and MEMS kind of stuff. So maybe I'm biased in seeing what I want to see, but it seems to me they're absolutely everywhere in all of those categories. So, sensors in the automotive portion that I'll talk about, all different kinds of sensors and very elaborate fusion when I write some of that up. In the entertainment stuff, microphones, light sensors for displays and TVs. TVs were everywhere. And then, of course, motion sensors for a lot of the fitness wear. It seemed to me to be the underlying theme of what enabled a lot of what was being shown this year. Actually, I guess it wasn't just me, because I heard an NPR report as well where they also mentioned that sensors was one of the big enablers this year.
So if you could boil down to one really super cool thing at this year's show, what would that thing be?
I'm actually going to pass on that. There wasn't one cool thing that I saw. I mean, there were a bunch of cool things, but then again, there's also cool and then there's hype, and it's hard to separate what's actually cool and real and what's hype. And I just kind of came out of there with my head spinning and my ears ringing, kind of sort through and see what's real or not. But there's plenty of cool stuff to be seen. I could not nail it down to just one thing. Oh, wait, hang on just a sec. Can you wait just a second? No, I need to pull down my tent. Hang on. No, I will be. I got a cab. I can't believe I actually got a cab.
Hey, oh, okay.
No, come back. No, I am going to be there. No, give me a sec. No, come on. Wait.
Well, it looks like we've lost our feed with Brian. I guess I'll talk to him later.
A talking fork, you say? What? Sure, there are a slew of semi-useful, slightly scary, and dubiously necessary gadgets at CES every year. My favorite has got to be the Happy Labs Happy Fork. Yep, what we got here is some brilliant engineering at work. Or possibly just another way for an inanimate object to tell you, hey, fatso, you're eating too fast. I'm not quite sure which. So, what does this Happy Fork do? Well, basically, it's an electronic fork that will not only buzz or light up when it thinks you're eating too fast, it will also count the number of bites you take and can also track your average meal time. And to boot, or to fork, this electro fork can also sync with your smartphone or laptop, in essence helping you lose weight. Or maybe just making you feel bad about yourself. I'm not sure which one we're talking about here. Again. Oh, and they do have a happy spoon in the works, too. So, there are a couple problems here. Other than the whole making yourself feel bad thing, and I think that might just be me. First, these aren't actually in production yet, as is the case with a lot of CES products. Next, the Happy Fork really doesn't address foods that aren't eaten with a fork. What about Happy Chopsticks, or a Happy Straw, or heck, what about pizza or a burger even? Would that be Happy Hands? But then, I guess if you're buying an electronic fork to tell you when to stop eating, then you might not be so into a burger or pizza. Well, folks, count me out. But what do you guys think? Should I get one of these for a nerdy giveaway sometime, or no thank you and pass that extra large pie with the extra cheese? And now, how about that surprise I spoke of earlier? Yep, it's true. I have two Zed boards to give away this week, not just one, two. Thank you very much, Xilinx. First off, oh man, what awesome posts about this board. You guys had me cracking up. So, the winners of these two super cool development boards are LV Ruffino and Eric Wirtz. Thank you so much for entering, everyone. And this week, I'm giving away a copy of FRAM MCUs for Dummies. Okay, let's talk about this book some. This little book packs a major punch. You see, Texas Instruments has a line of microcontrollers, or MCUs, that use ferroelectric random access memory, or FRAM. Aha, you say, wait, why would I want an MCU with FRAM? See? You're the perfect audience for this book. No, not really to say that you're a dummy, but FRAM uses an incredibly tiny amount of power, way less than flash. So you combine that with a microcontroller and presto, you can do all sorts of cool microcontrolling with almost no power. A lemon battery maybe? Some of those new energy harvesting gadgets? See, you need a book like this to explain the whole thing. So tell me how you would use an MCU that burns basically no power, and maybe I'll hook you up with the book to help you get started. It'll be like a joint project. I provide the book, and you provide the engineering creativity. Okay? Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including information about the Happy Fork, that super cool optic sensing technology from 4DSP, or even more information about CES, as if you didn't have enough already, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or maybe the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of January 11th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.